so but very well done. Very well done. Glad to have Brother Reza with us this morning. No stranger to us, and has been here over the years for different types of things. And I remember the Operation Soul Storms a couple of times. He came with our young people. Just a faithful preacher. Again, had the privilege of going to school with Brother Reza, so it's a joy to my heart to have two men in that were I was a classmate with over 30 years ago who are still I can't have some of those guys here. Some of the guys that I was in school with have either dropped out completely or changed so drastically that I couldn't have them in this pulpit. So it's a real honor to have two men here today that I can have in here and bring to you. And you know them. And it's my fault. If you missed it, I just had a complete brain collapse. And it's really not that difficult for that to happen, all right? But I had a complete brain collapse to have two evangelists here. Or I was thinking of it this way. I couldn't say it this way. It just takes two evangelists to keep up with one pastor. I think that's what I should say. I think that's what it is. I really think maybe that's what it is. I think we finally learned that. So I guess we're going to have two in every year from here on out. So, but anyway. And two evangelists to keep up with a sick pastor. I think I'm losing here. I think the Spirit of the Lord is leaving right now, isn't he? And what was it Brother Booth was saying about pride in the Sunday school hour? I'm horsing around, all right? But these are great guys, and I'm glad they're here. We have some young people going to sing for us. Our original special had to cancel this morning because of sickness, and some young people are going to fill in. So young people, you come and sing for us, whoever's singing, come on now and sing for us. And then we will give you, as soon as the special is done, you give your undivided attention to Brother Oliver Reza, who will bring the lesson out of Mount Union, West Virginia. Works out of the camp out there, Mount Salem Revival Grounds. One of Dr. Joe Boyd's men, and was trained by Brother Boyd, tremendous preacher. You'll enjoy him and after the song. God bless you, folks.
The moment I knelt down upon my knees in prayer was the moment a beggar became a rightful heir. Began to live within this heart of mine
and filled me with
glory divine. And it happened that very moment he saved my soul. Parted in the dark of life in heaven, my sins washed away by the blood of Calvary. Since then the blood was applied,
forever all
sin justified. Get over that grace so rich and free. And the more that I live, the more it amazes me how in just one moment of time then became mine. And it happened that very moment he saved my soul.
My name is
recorded in the book of life in heaven. My sins washed away by the blood of Calvary.
Enjoyed that good song. How about a good hearty amen? All right. Very good to be here today. Go ahead and take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to the book of Revelation and the very first chapter, Revelation chapter number 1, please, is where I want us to begin with this morning. Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Praise the Lord for His goodness. Amen. And glad to be here today. Somebody told me it wasn't just takes two evangelists to replace one pastor. They said he's really, Brother Angel's just getting two for the price of one. Amen. I'm just going to order a lot of room service. Amen. The next afternoon here. Amen. Get my money's worth. Glad to be here. I hope that you'll stop by the table and look at what we have there and pick up one of the prayer cards about the radio station. We have been broadcasting now for about 4 months. We're very excited about it. We have a prayer card back there that has the web address for the radio station. You can log on to it. We are streaming on the Internet. And, boy, it's just been very amazing on what the Lord's done. We'll have a little bit of time tonight to tell you a little bit more about it. But thank you so much for your offering, for your prayers. And I don't know of any other tool that the Lord has given us that helps people to be more spiritually minded than a good, solid, gospel, fundamental radio station. Just imagine if a pastor of your people had access to a godly sermon anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes of every hour of the day. That's what we're doing. We're bringing good preaching, teaching, biblical programming. About 20 minutes out of every hour is dedicated to that. And it deals with any issue you can imagine. And I got Brother Gomez at 1 o'clock every day, so you know that we're dealing with any issue you can imagine. Amen? And he's just outstanding. We love him. And just praise the Lord for this opportunity that the Lord's given us. Let's go ahead and stand together, shall we, for the reading of God's Word. It was a joy to hear Brother Booth this morning. Man, that was a powerful, powerful Sunday school lesson. And I'll certainly fill out the forms and obtain one of those copies. That would be good to play on the radio. I promise you, you won't hear that biblical sound teaching just anywhere. And that's what we have the privilege to do, to hear a good message, just get it, put it on the radio, and let a whole lot of folks hear it. That was real good. Amen. Well, if you miss Sunday school, you ought to do what you need to do to get a copy of it and listen to it. It'll be a big help to you. Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 1 is where we want to begin reading this morning. The Bible tells us here the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Excuse me. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I want to draw your attention to verse number 5, where it says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. We run Dr. Charles Fuller's program. I don't remember what time of the day that we run him on the WVGV. But I heard him preach the message, and this is the quote. I have it from his sermon here about the blood of Christ. Listen to what he says. If you go through the Old Testament, you will find that the way to get back to God is the way of sacrifice. There it was, the blood of bulls and goats. But these were not sufficient. When sin was too great and human nature too weak, then Jesus came in the flesh. He lived and loved and suffered and died, and his heart broke from pierced hands and feet and broken heart. His blood poured forth, and because of this sacrifice, the Apostle Peter writes, the precious blood of Christ. One more quote, then we'll have prayer and get into the message. This is by Octavius Winslow. The blood is everything to us. It is everything to God. He provided it, is satisfied with it, beholds it, and when he sees it on the soul, that soul becomes a living and lovely soul in his sight. May our meditation on atoning blood exalt our views of its dignity, increase in us its power, and endear to our hearts the preciousness of him who shed it. So our message this morning is entitled, Are You Washed in the Blood of the Lamb? Let's go ahead and bow for prayer, shall we? Our Father, we're so grateful to be here this morning. Thank you for your love and grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful song these young people sang just a moment ago about the blood being applied. It's not just about Christ dying, though it certainly started with his death, but it was his blood. And it is us applying his blood by faith that redeems us to you. Lord, I pray that you'd enrich us this morning. Bless us, save the lost, reclaim the backslider, revive the church is our prayer. We ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you so much for standing. As we reflect for just a moment upon this text verse, the Holy Scriptures vividly describe to us a washing scene. And the subjects of this particular washing are individuals who were worthy of the full wrath of Almighty God. But because of this blood washing, the Bible says they have obtained redemption. Redemption from the wrath of God. The Bible tells us here the blood washed are promised blessing for reading and hearing and keeping those things which are therein, written therein, for the time is at hand. Boy, what a wonderful thought and one thing to understand about what the blood of Jesus Christ can do for each and every one of us. I remember as a boy growing up, my grandmother, she had this little thing that she always did. She would take her personal items, little handkerchiefs and napkins and things of that nature there, and she would hand wash them. She would fill the bathroom sink up with warm to hot water, and she always kept a little washboard. And she would put some soap in that water there. I remember the box of soap. I think it was called Dreft, little pink box. And my grandmother would scrub on those little handkerchiefs and those things that were just personal items for her. And I mean, listen, when they came out of that little washing that she did and hung on the curtain rod there in the bathroom, boy, they were just so clean and white and fresh. And I mean, it would just do a job. And my friends, sinners, stained with sin and wickedness, if you'll just experience the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, it'll make you clean and white. Amen. And precious in the sight of God. Verse number 4 identifies the blood washed as the church. And they match the words of Acts chapter 20, verse 28, which talks about the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. The blood washed are promised grace and peace. These ones who were washed from their sins in Jesus Christ's own blood. The Bible tells us they were loved by the entire Godhead. God the Father, represented by him which is and which was and which is to come. The Holy Ghost, represented by the seven spirits which are before his throne. And Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince and the kings of the earth. Amen. The entire Godhead loves us. Amen. With an unconditional love. And because these sinners are blood washed, the Bible says that they have been made priests and kings unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse number 7 reminds us of his second coming. The Bible says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds." Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 speaks of a great cloud of witnesses. Amen. And I believe that'll be those of us who are snatched up at the rapture. Amen. We get to come back with Christ at his second coming. Amen. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." That was a scripture verse that the liberals and modernists mocked at years ago. They would criticize and mock the Bible on how in the world can every eye see Jesus Christ when he comes back. But my friend, we live now in a cellular age, cellular technology. And if you have a cell phone, you can get news from all over the world at an instant. Last year, I had the privilege to take two mission trips, one to the Philippines, and then the second one was in the fall of the year, Dr. Runyon, and we went to Africa. Precious people. You can't help but just love them. Very poor, compared to our standards, very poor. They live very primitive lives, but they're very happy people, wonderful people. I mean, you just amazing people. They live in mud huts, grass roofs. I'm talking about cooking over wood. I remember when we did a function there, an activity, they ladies cooked all day, and I said, I want to take a peek at your kitchen. And all it was three big rocks and a big old pot with full of water there, and that was what they were cooking on. Amen? They walk out of them mud huts, but those little kids are just as clean and shiny and dressed up and as precious as can be. Very aristocratic. They may not have much compared to our standards, but just about all of them walk out of those mud huts with a cell phone. They don't even have electricity, but they walk out with a cell phone. Can you imagine that? They may sell some ears of corn or some potatoes or tomatoes or something and make a couple of shillings. And if you just allow capitalism just a little bit of room, it'll always spring up somewhere. Amen. So there's always a businessman that'll sink a 4x4 post in the ground, hook some power to it, have a bunch of little receptacles on it. Amen. And for a couple of shillings, they can get a charge on their cell phone. And, buddy, they're happy again. Amen. And you can be to the most remote places you can imagine, but if you have a cell phone, you can find out. Amen? And I believe that's how the world is going to see Jesus when he comes back. Every eye. The Bible says, every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. That's in reference to the Jews. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen. So, dear friends, from his pierced side came forth the blood that would wash us from our sins. Boy, we can all say praise God to that. Amen. I want you to notice the first thing about the blood of Jesus Christ. Number one, the blood of Christ is literally the axis, meaning the center. It is the axis of heaven's throne. Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 6 tells us this. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. So you see, dear friends, at the axis of the throne in the eternal heavens is the blood of our redemption. I'm telling you, my friend, the blood of Jesus Christ is central in the plan of salvation. Without it, we would never know salvation. All we would know is eternal damnation. The blood of Jesus Christ is central in the work of redemption. Without it, we would be slaves to sin and the consequences for all eternity. The blood of Jesus Christ is central in the Word of God. You cut this old King James Bible anywhere and it'll bleed because it's a bloody book. The blood is central in the church of God. We already learned that the Bible says the church was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood is central in the mind of God. Amen. And the blood is central in the throne of God in heaven. Let me take you quickly back to Exodus chapter number 12, when God first instituted the Passover, and he gave very clear instructions to Moses, and he was to give them to the leaders of the tribes of Israel, and they were to perform the Passover. And remember, he said, I want you to take the blood of the Passover lamb, and it's to be a male lamb. He said it's to be without blemish, all picturing the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the blood was to be sacrificed and the blood was to be kept, it was to be applied on the top of the door and on the side. And God said, when I see the blood, did you hear that? God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Amen. So I'm telling you, my friend, the blood is not just for us, but the blood is for God. God said, if I don't see the blood over the doorpost of your heart, then you're without salvation. You are without redemption. The blood of Jesus Christ is literally the axis of heaven's throne. But also the blood is the apparel of heaven's blood-washed redeemed. In Romans chapter Revelation 19, verse 12, it tells us this, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And his name, and he had a name written that no man. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. You see, Jesus Christ's garments
are white, dipped in blood, and the saints' garments are white, being washed in the blood, and it is a picture of Jesus being our substitutionary death. Amen. The day that you called upon Jesus and believed in your heart for salvation, the Bible said that Jesus, He became your substitute. His righteousness, you took them upon yourself, amen, by faith, and His sin was placed upon Him. I'm telling you, my friend, the blood is the apparel of heaven's blood washed, redeemed. But I want you to notice also, number three, the blood is the anthem of heaven's choir. I'm reading from Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus Christ provides an inexhaustible theme for the praises in the glory land forever and ever and ever. The liberals and modernists may not want to sing about it, but I'm telling you, the blood washed have always been singing about the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice, number four, the blood is literally the apex, meaning the highest. It is the apex of heaven's glory. I'm reading from the book of Hebrews in the 12th chapter, verse number 22. This is what we learn. "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." The blood of sprinkling. On the great day of atonement under the Mosaic economy, there were seven sprinklings of blood. And at the end of that blood-stained day, there was a blood-marked way straight from the door of the tabernacle through the two veils all the way to the Holy of Holies and right on to the mercy seat. We're not going to take the time this morning to give you those references, but my friend, there's something precious about it. Remember, the furniture of the tabernacle was a pattern of things in the present. And the writer to the Hebrews reveals what this sprinkling signified. Please don't miss it. I'm reading from the 9th chapter of Hebrews and verse number 11. Listen to these verses. "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." These people that say you can lose your salvation, that is an insult to the power, the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says when Jesus took His blood and He sprinkled it on the mercy seat of the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant in heaven, what we had on earth was just a pattern of the things in the heavens. The Bible says He obtained eternal redemption for us. Then He goes on to verse number 12, verse number 22. He says that almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary. Listen to what God says. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which is the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Oh, I'm going to tell you, my friend, I'm asking you the question this morning. Have you ever been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, you may be here this morning and you may ask, "Well, preacher, what is it about the blood of Jesus Christ that makes it so different?" Remember, in the Old Testament, it was pictured by the blood of bulls and goats and lambs, and they were offered year after year after year after year. But when Jesus offered His blood, The Bible says it was the once and for all offering that was needed to make an atonement for our souls. To do that over and over and over again today is to lower the sacrifice of Jesus to the levels of bulls and goats, which is blasphemous. I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And in verse 15, and for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So these verses are teaching us that under the Old Testament economy, the blood of bulls and goats sanctified the Old Testament believer until the time when the blood of Jesus Christ that was offered through the eternal Spirit once, not year after year, but once. The Bible talks about that. And when He did that, and when we received Christ by faith, listen, we have been saved by the blood. That means we've been purchased. That means that we are owned by the blood and washed in the blood and redeemed to God by the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was offered through the eternal Spirit. Inspiration is the work of the Holy Ghost. Inspiration means to breathe life into. And just as the Holy Ghost of God inspired the Word of God, He breathed life into it. And we have a Bible that is inerrant, infallible, amen, inspired, preserved. I'm telling you, there's not one reference you can go to where Jesus Christ, His deity, or His blood, or His coming is ever attacked in this King James Bible. And I'm telling you, my friend, just as the Holy Ghost of God breathed life into the book, the Holy Ghost of God breathed life into the blood of Christ. And that's why it brings eternal redemption for us. Amen. I'm telling you, my friend, have you ever been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? The story is told after Napoleon's defeat at Waterloo. He would often point to a red spot on a map that covered the area, and he would say, if it were not for that one red spot, I would be the emperor of the entire world. And I'm telling you, my friend, there's no doubt that Satan must spend much time pointing to a red spot called Calvary. And declare, if it were not for that one red spot, I would be the owner of many more souls. I'm telling you, thank God the blood was shed for us on that old rugged cross. And Jesus took it and He sprinkled it on the mercy seat in heaven for us, which brings about eternal redemption. The blood of Jesus Christ, I want you to notice, first of all, it's precious. Now, don't let it hurt you too bad, but that's all been just by way of introduction. Amen. Amen. Now we're just getting to the body of the message. But, amen, I preach a long introduction and a real small body. Excuse me, it's pretty good size too. Amen. So just hang on for a minute. But let me give you some thoughts about the blood. Number one, the blood is precious. You know, there are things that my dad gave me, my father. He's been home, went home to the glory land to be with his Savior a little over about 2.5 years ago now. And there are things that my dad gave me that I don't know if money could buy them, because they're precious to me. They're precious. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ is precious because it is the only blood that washes our sins away. The Bible says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Is your heart, have you come into this assembly this morning with a cold heart because of sin? I'm telling you, my friend, confess it to Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Listen, did you flub up on a commitment or on a decision? Did you just seem like you just tripped spiritually this last week? Lay it at the altar. Understand it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive it. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's precious blood because it's the only blood that washes our sins away. It's the only blood that can purge a guilty conscience, according to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, the Bible says, offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? I know that many times there are multitudes of people in our churches that want to serve God. They want to be soul winners. They want to be servants of God. They want to find a place to serve in God's church. But the devil keeps bringing up their past. Keeps pulling things out of the closet and saying, remember this and remember about this one and what about this? And the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ can purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Amen. Get it under the blood. Understand it's precious blood because it's the only blood that can purge your conscience from dead works. Amen. Listen, that's one thing the psychiatrist and the psychologist, they don't know what to do. How do we help someone that has a guilty conscience? How do we help them overcome that? I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus Christ can do what no psychologist or no psychiatrist can tell you to do. The blood of Jesus Christ, it's precious. It's precious because it's the only blood that makes peace with God for us. The Bible says in Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. I'm telling you, my friend, listen, the blood of Jesus Christ is what makes peace with God for us. So many times we feel so inadequate. Why would God want me? Why would God accept me? Why would God do this? I'm telling you, He does it on the base of the blood of His precious Son, the Lord Jesus. And His blood cleanses us from all sin. For many years in the marketplace of Rotterdam, Holland, there stood an old corner house known as the House of a Thousand Terrors. In the 16th century, King Philip II of Spain ruled over Holland. And in his hatred of the Dutch people, he tortured them. He maimed them, imprisoned them, and exiled thousands. And when the people rose up in defiance, he sent a Spanish army under the Duke of Alva to put down the rebellion. The city of Rotterdam had held out valiantly for some while and then finally fell before the Spanish army. And the victors went from house to house, flushing out the citizens and slaying them wholesale in their homes. But in one house, there was a group of men and women and children huddled together. And no doubt a thousand terrors gripping their hearts as the Spanish soldiers approached their home. And suddenly a young man had an idea of taking a goat, a young goat that belonged to the premises. And they killed the goat. And then with a broom they swept its blood under the door of the house. And then they waited breathlessly as the footsteps approached. Soon the Spaniards were bartering at the door. And they heard one of the soldiers say, "Look, men, look at the blood running from underneath the door. There's no reason to even enter. Come away. The work here has already been done." And when the band of soldiers withdrew, a small band of thankful people emerged safe and sound. They lived because an animal's blood was shed. And I'm telling you, my friend, the blood of Jesus Christ will make peace between you and God. It's precious blood. Amen? Not only is it precious blood, but also it's bold blood. In Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 19, the Bible says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." It's bold blood. Bold enough to give us authoritative access to God. You see, my friend, you may not feel spiritual, but you don't have to feel spiritual to go to God. You may feel defeated and discouraged. You may feel like you couldn't even earn or could ever even gain an audience with God. And you're right, you can't. But we are able to gain an audience with God because of the blood of His precious Son. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometime afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ." I'm telling you, my friend, listen, it's bold blood. It gives us access to God. We don't have to conjure up. We don't have to make ourselves. We don't have to be worthy of it. Thank God we can go to it because of the preciousness of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's bold blood. It's bold enough to be eternally efficacious for us. That is just a fancy theological word that simply means the blood will never lose its power. It keeps working and it keeps working and it keeps working and it keeps working. Amen. Remember, offered, the Bible says, through the eternal Spirit, the blood will never ever lose its power. How now, the Bible says in Hebrews 13:20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Did you hear that? The everlasting covenant. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm telling you, the blood will never lose its power. Some old lost heathen that was saved 2,000 years ago is as saved today as he ever has been saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And it will keep on working for him for eternity future. Amen. The blood will never lose its power. The Old Testament saints that received salvation, it was under the belief that God would send His precious Son. Amen. Those Old Testament sacrifices, they just pointed to Jesus. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." I'm telling you, it will never lose its power. It will never lose its power. It's efficacious for us. Oh, my friend, oh, may we appreciate it and love it and enjoy it. The blood of Jesus Christ, it's precious blood. It's bold blood. Actually, also, it's bold enough to be preaching blood. Did you know that the blood of Jesus Christ preaches? It does. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, 24, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the New Testament, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." You see, Abel's blood offering took care of Abel. But praise God, the blood of Jesus Christ can take care of the whole world. Amen. It's preaching blood. And my friend, also, it's bold enough to be overcoming blood. According to Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Here in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, this is the last reference in the King James Bible to the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it is the overcoming blood enabling believers to withstand the deceptions and accusations of the devil. Amen. I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus Christ is precious blood. The blood of Jesus Christ is bold blood. But I'm sure there's someone saying here, "But Brother Oliver, you don't understand. You don't know my sin. You don't know where I've come from. You don't know what I've done." And my friend, that may be true, but you may not understand what the power of the blood of Jesus Christ can do either. There's a story in Scottish history about men who were seeking to capture the king. They heard that King Bruce was in his palace, and they started after him. And the king heard that they were coming, and he escaped with a few of his trusted men. They made their way through the fields and into the forest, and when they thought that they had escaped, in the distance, the king heard the baying of bloodhounds. But they were not just any bloodhounds. They were his own bloodhounds. He gave himself up for loss. He knew that there was no way in the world that he could be able to find a way to trick his bloodhounds. They would track him down and the enemy would kill him. So he gave himself up for loss. But in the distance, he heard the babbling sound of a little mountain stream. So with his faithful followers, he went into the stream, and by going up the stream some distance and across the other side, they covered their trails. And when the hounds came to the stream, so history tells us, they lost the trail and Bruce the king was saved. But my friend, I know a story a whole lot greater than that. Because there have been multitudes of lost, sick, wicked, perverted, heathen people that have said, I'm too wicked. I'm too wicked. I'm too wicked. But when they plunge beneath that crimson flow, the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, my friend, they experience redemption, forgiveness, new life in Jesus Christ. Dear friend, don't even try to enter heaven without the blood. Hebrews 9:7 says, but into the second when he went the high priest alone once year after year, not without blood. So you see, my friend, God will forgive us of our sins, but not without blood. God will pardon us, but not without blood. God can redeem us, but not without blood. Man can be, understand these sweet, wonderful things, but not without blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. I'll end with this one story. Many days ago in Detroit, Michigan, there was a well-known evangelist. You've heard stories about him. His name is Dr. Charles Finney. He had preached on the text of 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And after the service, a stranger asked Dr. Finney to walk home with him. He was advised against it by the church officials, but Dr. Charles Finney went with the man anyway. He ushered the man, ushering the preacher into the rear of a building. The stranger locked the door behind him and put the key in his pocket. And he looked over at the preacher and he said, don't be afraid. I'm not going to hurt you. I just want to ask you some questions. He said, do you believe what you preach tonight? Dr. Finney said, I most certainly do. The man said, we're in the back of a saloon right now. I own it. I'm the sole proprietor. Mothers come in here and they lay their babies on the counter and they beg me not to sell liquor to their husbands. I turn a deaf ear to their cry. We see to it that when a man leaves here, he is well under the influence of the liquor. More than once, a man has been killed by the train tracks nearby. Tell me, Dr. Finney, can God save a man like me? And Dr. Finney replied, I have but one authority, and it is the Word of God, which says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. But that's not all, added the man. In another room, we run a gambling hall. And if a man doesn't spend all his money on liquor, then we bring him back here. And with marked cards, we see to it that he is fleeced out of his last dollar. We send him home penniless to a hungry family. Dr. Finney, I own it all. I'm the sole owner. Tell me honestly, can God forgive a man with a heart like that? Dr. Finney replied, I have but one authority, the Word of God, which says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. The man spoke, that's not all. Across the street is my home where my family lives, my wife and one little daughter. Neither one of them has heard a kind word from me for 5 years or more. Their bodies bear marks of my brutal attacks. Dr. Finney, do you think that God could forgive a man with a heart like that? And Dr. Finney lowered his head, his eyes filled with tears, as he said, my friend, you have painted one of the darkest pictures I've ever gazed upon. But I still have one authority which says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. The man opened the door, ushered the preacher into the night. And he never left that room till daybreak. Not before ripping up decks of cards and pouring out the contents of bottles, pouring it down the drain. At home, he sat alone in his living room. His little girl called, Daddy, Mother says breakfast is ready. And when he answered kindly, his little girl kindly, she ran back to her mother and said, Daddy spoke to me kindly, Mama, something's the matter. The mother followed the little girl to the living room. The man beckoned them both, taking one on each knee.
And he explained to their amazement. And he was a different man now by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, from this time forward, he said, you have a new husband and a new daddy. He had given his heart to Christ during the night and was gloriously saved. He said, I'm done with that business across the street. No more liquor, no more gambling, no more abuse. And after his conversion, the man became a member of the church, then a leader in the church. And when asked to tell how his life was changed, he would simply reply, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. I'm telling you, my friend, I don't care what it is that you face this morning, what it is, what kind of excuse, what it is. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. It'll change your life. It satisfies God. And you can have it. You can experience it. Even as a Christian, we need to understand it. We don't hear this kind of topics too much anymore. We do in our churches, but it's not a common thing. We need to understand it and appreciate it. Maybe what you need to do this morning, you've been saved for a long time and you're right with the Lord and you serve the Lord, but maybe you just need to come to this altar and just say, thank you, dear God, for Jesus and His shed blood. The kids, the ones, the teenagers, they're the ones that set this up. They told us about it. They sang all about it just a while ago. I hope you got it. Let's stand together, shall we? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you just a few questions, my friend, as you examine your heart. Please don't just let your mind wander. Open your heart and mind up to the Lord. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many of you could honestly say, Brother Oliver, I've been saved by the blood. No doubt whatsoever, I'm saved by the blood. I know I'm going to heaven. I've been saved by the blood. Hold your hand up as a testimony. God bless you. Isn't that wonderful? Go ahead and put your hands down. That was a lot of hands raised, but not every hand was raised. I'm telling you, my friend, you can leave this room today and know without a single doubt that your name is written in heaven. That God is your Heavenly Father, Jesus is your Savior, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can know it. You just have to humble yourself and see your need. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder this morning how many would say, Brother Oliver, pray for me. I'm not a Christian. I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. But I sure would like to get it settled in my heart. I want to know the Lord as my personal Savior. Pray for me, preacher. Would you be so kind to lift your hand up right now and let me have a prayer for you? Lift it up right now. Lift it up real high. I won't embarrass you. I just want to help you. Anybody like that this morning, lift your hand up. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Now, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask this dear one that raised her hand, would you be so kind to look at me just a minute? Would you do that? God bless you. If you just be so kind to slip to the aisle, these men will take the Bible and they'll show you how to be saved. Let's take care of it right now. Amen. God bless you. Come on right now. Amen. Slip forward. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Come on right now. Amen. Let's take care of this morning. That's what this service is. We've been praying for. No doubt the Lord brought you here to hear this message that explains to you how much God loves you. God bless you. That's right. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder this morning how many backsliders would be here tonight. You say, Brother Oliver, pray for me. Oh, I know the Lord is my Savior. You couldn't even make me doubt it, but I've gotten so far out of God's will, I'm a backslider. Maybe I've been hiding it, but I am. And I need to rededicate my life afresh and anew to God. Pray for me, Brother Oliver. Lift your hand up right now. Let me have a prayer for you. Anybody like that? Lift it up real high. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. Amen. I'm telling you, God loves you. And I know you feel so guilty. That's the way we all feel. We feel like we've made decisions to put other things in God's place and like, why in the world would God ever want me back? But that's where the blood of Jesus Christ steps in. Amen. Go to God. Get that relationship restored. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Others, Brother Oliver, pray for me. I'm a backslider. I need to rededicate my life afresh and anew to God. Pray for me too. Anybody else? Lift your hand up real high. Anybody else? God bless you, sir. Amen. Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. These that raise their hand, gentlemen, please be so kind to look at me right now. Look at me. Raise your hand. God bless you, sir. Look at me, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Listen right now. Slip to the aisle. Let somebody pray with you. Come on right now. Don't wait any longer. Slip to the aisle right now. Come on. Slip out. Find that center aisle. Come on right now. That's right, sir. Slip out right now. Come on. Don't wait any longer. Come on. Hey, the blood of Jesus Christ. That's right. Come on. Let's dedicate it to God. That's right. Come on. How about it, sir? Hey, don't do that to the blood of Christ. Slip on out right now. Let's get right with God. Come on. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If these, your family, these belong to you, you need to be at the altar praying with them right now. Come on. Let's get some Christian men to pray with these men here. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Others, this morning, Brother Oliver, pray for me. I'm a backslider. I need to get right with God. Pray for me. Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on. Come on. I wonder, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, other Christians here, Brother Oliver, pray for me. I just need to get my mind on, I just need to meditate on this. I need this, to, as Octavius Winslow, the quote, I just need to see the preciousness of it. I need to appreciate it. And how can we even enjoy these doctrines if we don't know them, don't understand them, and meditate upon them? God, touch your heart. We're going to have prayer in just a minute. God's touched your heart. If the ladies play for us, you find a place at the altar. Do what God's called you to do this morning. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for the precious blood of Jesus. It saves us eternally, gives us access to you, cleanses our conscience, speaks for us. May we, Father, that have enjoyed its washing upon our lives, express our love, our gratitude, our appreciation for it. And may we offer a life of service and passion and love just to show our thankfulness for it in Jesus and His blood. Bless this invitation. Be pleased at it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.